Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who brings us to the New Jerusalem in heaven above. Amen. Our sermon text again are those words from our New Testament lesson from Revelation. There it is written, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." So far, our sermon text. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart from this world, darkened by sin as it is. Set us apart from all this. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed. Excuse me. Have you ever seen pictures of Jerusalem? A number of my members in my previous congregation, they brought me some pictures of Jerusalem. They had visited it. I think some of you may have visited the place too. Jerusalem is probably not what you're expecting if you go there thinking that it's going to look like the Jerusalem of Solomon's day. I think we have this picture of Jerusalem as a bright, shining city on the top of Mount Zion. But modern-day Jerusalem is kind of dilapidated, especially the old town. It's been about 2,000 years since Jesus walked those streets of Jerusalem. It's been almost 3,000 years since Solomon built the temple there. Jerusalem is an old city that's built on top of even older cities. The Babylonians destroyed that temple of Solomon, leveled most of Jerusalem. And even though that temple was rebuilt twice, in 70 AD, the Roman legions came in to squash the rebellion that had arisen there, and they leveled the place. The temple was destroyed again. The Apostle John was still alive when that happened. He lived probably over 90 years. And he would have been well aware of the rubble of Jerusalem and how it had been destroyed. So it seems a little odd to us today that God would choose the picture of the city of Jerusalem to illustrate what heaven is like in Revelation. But what better way is there to picture what God has done for us? When we look at the earthly Jerusalem, that is to be for us a picture of mankind, invaded by sin, plagued by death. But God reveals to us today the heavenly Jerusalem, radiant with righteousness and beauty, and eternally alive in the light of God Himself. What a beautiful picture. This is a picture of the triumphant church in heaven. God's encouraging us to be heavenly minded in our lives as Christians while we're here on earth. He's encouraging us to see past the trappings to the truth. Can you see past the trappings? The truth. I know that for many of us, we have been in situations where we've been forced to look beyond the trappings to see what's really going on. Many of you are parents. I'm guessing that you've had to look past the trappings to the truth when you have asked your son or daughter why they have their hand in the cookie jar. Sometimes, though, we only think that we can do this properly. We only think that we can see past the trappings to the truth. It probably happens most often when we look at the Jerusalem of our own hearts. We look at our hearts and we imagine that they're like Solomon's fair Jerusalem, high on Zion, a well-ordered and holy place, well-defended with strong walls all around. Sometimes maybe we even feel like we imagine Solomon must have felt in those days. He must have felt, well, I'm in control. I'm the king of this great nation. I live an upstanding life here in the very city of God. And Solomon's kingdom was well ordered. He had built the temple there in Jerusalem. He worshiped in the temple quite often. He had a powerful army. He had strong walls, high walls, and good defenses. But did he remain secure? He writes for us these words: "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I've communed with my heart, saying, 'Look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem.' But what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun?" In one respect, Solomon did see past all the trappings to the truth. He knew that none of his works were going to last. He would have cried to see the Babylonians tear down the temple. This morning, we are encouraged by God to look past the trappings, to look into our own hearts, and to see there that we are sinners, to see that the wages of sin is death, to see that because of sin in this world, everything around us is decaying, everything is going away, the whole creation is groaning. There's no one who can continue living like this. For by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Solomon saw the reality of sin and death, but unfortunately, he didn't see the whole truth. He looked at all the works of his hands, seeing that they were going to come to nothing. But then he concluded that everything done by human beings, everything done by men is worthless. And so nothing really matters at all in the end. Sometimes people draw that conclusion. Sometimes we draw the same conclusion. We look at the Jerusalem of our hearts and we don't care that it's dirty and ramshackle. It really doesn't matter what shape my heart is in, we reason with ourselves. I might as well eat and drink and be merry while I can. But is this not a path that seems right to man, but in the end leads to destruction and death? The truth of the matter is that our hearts are not like that proud Jerusalem of Solomon, and our hearts are not like the dirty Jerusalem of today. Look past the trappings to the truth, and you will see what God says in His Word, that it's true. Our hearts are more like the rubble of Jerusalem that John knew. So, leads us to question: should we ever rely upon our own works or anything that we do? All that will be gone one day. Don't let yourself be tricked by the trappings and ignore the truth. But what should I do? I'm not as wise as Solomon. What should I do? Should we appeal to our own hearts for an excuse? There's no excuse with God. That won't work. God knows everything. None of the trappings of our lives will trick Him. He sees our hearts for what they are. Smoking ruins like Jerusalem, waiting for the final fire. Our hearts condemn us. They condemn us when we think about all the things that we haven't done that we know we should have done. All the people we should have cared about and cared for that we haven't. All those terrible words we've said and deeds that we've done that we knew we shouldn't have. Our hearts condemn us. But God is greater than our hearts. He's greater than death. He's greater than our sins. He is greater than Solomon. In fact, He's the one that the Bible speaks of as greater than Solomon. It's not His intention to leave us there with hearts of rubble so that we might despair like Solomon did. His law is there rather to stop us from, stop our mouths from speaking lies to ourselves, to take away all our false excuses. Paul writes, "For by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by His law is the knowledge of sin. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the Scriptures, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and in all, and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The truth is that God Himself is rebuilding the holy city among our hearts. Not an earthly Jerusalem like the one in Palestine that's made of bricks and mortar and stones. That'll all be gone one day. God is creating something new. He is refashioning us in His loving hands into something more beautiful, something that we don't deserve. But He does this because He desires to love us. He desires to save us from our sins. The work to accomplish this began when Jesus was conceived. It began when He lived His life perfectly and without sin as the Son of God and Son of Man. And it culminated, it was completed when Jesus there on the cross said, "It is finished," when He gave His life as a ransom for us all, when He gave His own body and blood to pay for our sins. Because of that holy and innocent and precious blood of our Lord, God declares you and me, all of us, He declares us righteous in His sight because Jesus did what we could not do. He paid for our sins. He lived that perfect life. The righteousness of God is Christ's righteousness, and it is a gift to you. You receive it by means of faith, because God has given you faith to hold on to it and to trust it and to believe it. That's why He speaks in those words, that gracious gospel command, "Believe and you shall be saved." Believe in Him. Trust Him at His word, fellow redeemed. Remember what John saw. "He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. She had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This is the foundation. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. This is what God is bringing you to heaven above, to that heavenly Jerusalem where He is at the center of all things, where He watches over us and protects us. And how is He doing that? But through that word, the word of the prophets, the word of the apostles given to us. Therefore, as Peter says, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So let us be heavenly minded. Let us be heavenly minded, dear Christians, and look past the trappings of this world to the truth, which is not of this world, but of God. Don't be so caught up with the material things that are passing away. Don't be so caught up with trying to justify yourself. You can't do it. Don't turn against one another with evil speaking or lie to yourself. Sin has no place in this heavenly Jerusalem that God is building. Instead, turn with thanksgiving to the Lord who bought you back from your sin at such a great price. Repent of your sin. Turn away from it. Desire that which is good. Remember where you're going. Serve God as holy priests. For behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We heard those words last week in our reading from Revelations. And here today we have this picture of the heavenly Jerusalem. Keep these thoughts in your minds, dear fellow redeemed. Think on these things and see past the trappings of this world. See to the truth of the matter. God loves you, and He has sent His Son to be the sacrifice for you. And He has forgiven you all your sins, and you belong with Him forever in heaven. So turn your mind heavenward. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life.